I think this is really an interesting time because we're moving from a traditional office after 26 years here now in Singapore into an activity-based office, which is the new way of working, and it allows our employees to move around, use different zones in different at different times to do different work. So sometimes you need to be concentrated to write something up or read something, and then there's no phone allowed. And sometimes they want to be in a creative space. Sometimes they want to have a meeting situation. So this new office allows for all of that. And as a result, we should be more reactive and more customer oriented. Yeah, I think it's a necessity from the market. So we see the markets are moving very quickly. But Sennheiser has always been very interested in innovation, in new things. We brought actually a lot of new innovation to the market over the years, sometimes too early, sometimes right on time. So we do have that urge to change all the time. But it also means that we need to change internally. And this is something which, especially when you come out with a new generation, with my brother and me joining the company, we have the willingness to change and we have the power to change it as well. I think 1968 was very special because this was the birth of the audio headphone category. So we invented that category with the HD414. That's probably a one-time, once-in-a-lifetime event. But going forward, we believe that we have another revolution coming up with Ambio, 3D audio, where we really move away from specific formats and channel-based audio to a real 3D user experience, where the idea is that you will experience a recording as if it was live, or you can experience a virtual reality or augmented reality situation as if you were there. Well, Sennheiser has always worked a lot with creators. We have a large professional segment which is helping creators since actually the beginning. So this is where we're coming from. That's the core of Sennheiser. But with Ambio, we're really looking at a model that is that only Sennheiser can do, because we're creating tools for the recording, tools for mixing, tools for processing, and also tools for playback, whether it's over speaker or binaural headsets. So here we're really creating something full circle when it comes from recording down to the playback. And with that, we create content, or content creators create content for Ambio. Well, you need to categorize in one or the other way, but we have actually quite many products that cross over. So with the HD25, we have a very professional standard DJ headphone that I would say 80% of DJs use worldwide. With the memory mic, we have a consumer microphone that, and also with the Ambio Smart headset, we have a consumer product for content creators. So the blending of the categories is a little bit fluent, but it is clear that the hardcore consumer work is much different from the hardcore professional work, where it's all about safety, it's all about reliability, and a singer on stage or a broadcast anchor does not want a failure, where on the consumer side, it's more about things like design, about audio quality, and about fashion and stuff like that. Well, we actually welcome that because it keeps us on our toes. We need to be always focusing on the customer. The customer is really what we care about, and we want to understand you guys better. That's why we are regionally so spread. As a mid-sized company, we are very global because we want to be in the markets. We want to understand our customers. We want to interact with them to really understand what makes the difference for the Sennheiser value to be chosen. And therefore, we were more focused actually on the customer than our competition. But sometimes we also do things like the HE1, which has no competition. It's our own competition, just to prove to ourselves that we're able to do it. Or something like a D9000, which is the only digital uncompressed wireless microphone on the market. And no one is trying to get anywhere near, because it is clearly the standard in the market. But I think we always have to balance two things. One, we have a technology development stream where we look constantly at new technologies, and we have an organization that understands the customer, and we need to bring both together. Whereas historically, probably the technology was more the driving force behind it and the scientific understanding. Today, we need to bring the customer experience, the customer need, and really the technology together. So for example, when we developed the digital D6000 system, because of the battery, because of the technology requirements, the body pack was a little bit larger than the previous analog system. And consumers really very clearly told us, or customers told us, you need to be smaller. And hence we brought out the 6212 right now, which is really based on customer requirements. And our engineers first told us it's not possible. Today it's possible. So we need to challenge them. Today it's extremely important. I believe a customer today looks at, when they choose, for example, a headphone, they look at three things. They look first at the design, they then look at the technology, and thirdly at the audio quality. So it needs to be wireless, it needs to be the utmost audio quality, but it has to look good, otherwise it doesn't work for them. And our Momentum True Wireless is a very nice testament to that. The first true wireless system on the market without any compromise, because the design and the link quality and the audio quality are of the highest standards. Well, so far it's working. I hope it's going to work in the long run. But on a serious note, I think what really unites us, we have the same value system, we have the same education together. Then we went off professionally in different fields, and then found each other again after quite some time where everybody did their own thing. My brother studied engineering and worked for companies like Hilti. I studied design and worked for communication companies like Procter & Gamble. When we found each other again, we respect each other very much for the expertise that each of us brings to the table. Because in the end, we need to bring both together. And we have a very unique way of working together, because there's no hierarchy amongst each other. And yes, we fight at times, but only on subjects, never on a personal level. There's no plan at this point. What we do is we talk about the family values, also with the other shareholders on a regular basis. We need to be clear what we want. We are on a long-term strategy with everything we do. We want to be independent. One of our biggest values is the independence, independence from banks, independence from investors, but also independence from single markets. That's why we're in the consumer market, the professional market, and the business communication market. I don't know, I can't speak about the others, but what I think what's important for us is that we stay humble. We are really focusing on the customer very much. That's our number one priority in everything we do. We co-develop with our customer. And if you're close to your customer and you're always delivering on what they need, then you're in a safe environment. As long as you don't have, if you also keep your independence at the same time, then you're also not so much looking at turnover and profit of one single year. We think about more longer term. Well, I think my father is a very nice example where he at one point very clearly said, now it's time for the next generation, and he let go, completely let go. There are a lot of examples of first, second, third generation that cling on to the power because they think they can do it better. And my father was very, very graceful in that, where he said, okay, you guys are now in charge, and he really stepped out of the company altogether. He even moved away, so he didn't come to the office anymore to really say, okay, the boys are now in charge. And I think that's a very, very good way of handing over power, because for the organization it was immediately very clear there's no second line up anymore, but actually Daniel and Andreas are in charge. And I hope one day I get the realization that I'm not the best person for this, that I will also have the clarity to step aside at that point. And that moment will come. Well, first of all, the success of the past is no guarantee for the success of the future. So just because we have a legacy, it does not mean that tomorrow we will make the right decisions. So we need to stay humble also in that respect. And we try to be very open. I'm trying to be very open to all our employees. We have strong, strong characters in our organization on all hierarchical levels. And we use, just recently we announced some internal cultural principles that include that attitude is more important than skill and things like that, or that it's hierarchy is not important. Everybody can be a leader in a project, no matter of their hierarchy level. We also have an organization that is very has very few hierarchical levels. So we are very approachable, and both my brother and me are trying to cultivate that approachability through transparent offices where people walk in and out, where we don't have a fixed desk, for example. So this modern way of working that we also implement here, we live it ourselves. And by that, of course, there's some people who are afraid to speak up, but you always have people who speak up, and we usually promote and listen to those voices that are speaking up. In the end, I need to take a decision because that's my job, so that's okay as well. But I very often listen to very many opinions first, and sometimes if I have nothing to add, I don't try to play the big boss who knows it better. I just say, yeah, you're right. Let's follow your recommendation, and that's fine. Well, I think we have a very strong company culture that is unique across the world. So if you find a Sennheiser employee anywhere in the world, you will feel this very unique culture. And we see that also with when we recruit people to join Sennheiser, you either leave after 3 months because you can't handle it, or you stay for a very long time. So I think this is also a testimony to a very coherent way of working, and we're trying to create more and more also a global, an international workforce. So move people around in different places to also create that coherence across markets, across borders. And having a humble attitude does not mean that you cannot be aggressive in the market. Our markets currently are not really affected. So we see that the consumer spend is good on headphones. Headphone market is growing. The professional market is very stable, not growing so much, but it has never been growing so much, but very stable. And the business communication market is growing very fast. So we need to adapt to that, and that's a reality. That's always we tend to over emphasize the short-term news and not look so much at the long-term trends. But as a family-owned business that is long-term in the business, we need to look at the long-term. And in the 70s, there were problems. The Cold War was a big problem, but we worked through that. There was oil crisis in the 70s and 80s. Then Europe uniting. So everything is changing, and we adapt to that. And right now, yes, we have a time where a lot of questions are being raised, but we have to adapt to that as well. It's about the customer and not so much about politics. Maybe I never thought about that, but it's a good idea. I think the birth of the company was born out of necessity. My grandfather did not say, okay, I want to become an entrepreneur, but he was a scientist. And after the Second World War, nobody was paying a scientist to do science work. People wanted to have something to eat. So he simply took the lab equipment apart and produced products that they could sell so they could feed the family. And that's how it started.
Was there any point in time when you wanted to be something else instead of running Sennheiser?
Yeah. I think that's, if you look at my curriculum, my brother was very clear that he wanted to run Sennheiser already at age 16, and he did all his career preparing for that, and he's very well prepared. I wanted to become a designer, I wanted to do communication, I did not want to become an engineer. Funny enough, it now comes full circle because we need both sides. We need design and we need engineering. We have both those backgrounds to look at the same problem. In the end, we have one company to run, yes. It looks like a big plan today, but it is actually coincidence.